Right, this is Mary Rees interviewing Bonnie Sartin on the 1st of May 2015 for the Telling Tales Project, interview number 24. Bonnie, it's May Day at Halsey Manor and you've been entertaining the children today already, but I want to take you right back. Can you give me, some early background about your family?
A bit of a social background, yeah.
Yes, well, please.
Yeah, I was born in a little farm cottage with my twin sister during the war, this was. And it was very primitive, you know, water from the well, no electricity, hot and cold running rats, we had those. Mm. My mother one day opened up the larder door and there was this huge rat in there. So he slammed the door, went out to my father's ferret box, got his favourite ferret, shoved that in the larder, slammed the door again. And there was great caterwauling from inside. And when Dad came out and opened up the door, they'd killed each other. So that's the sort of life it was. We lived well because Dad did a lot of rabbiting and some official, some unofficial. Yeah. So a fairly sort of lowly background, really. A tiny little two-bedroom cottage with my grandfather and my grandmother and my mother and father and four kids all in there.
All together. When was this?
This was 1943 I was born.
Right.
Yeah, and so during the war and, at the age of four, I moved to the great city of Thornford. So I could go to school, basically.
Yeah.
And that's where I was brought up, really. But they... The singing bit sort of came much later on. We did folk songs at school.
Yeah.
We had programmes called Rhythm and Melody and Singing Together, and we mm-hmm. all sang these songs to the radio. But later on, of course, what happened? I was in the Scouts at Yetminster, and that's where I first met Pete and Mac and Bob, who was in the band originally. I was singing around the campfire, and that's how we started. And then... the WI in Yetminster, which was our biggest village and it's a social centre really, started folk dance lessons in Yetminster Village Hall every other Tuesday night. And the young girls of the village went along to join in. Uh-huh. And where the young girls go, aha, it is only natural the boys go too.
Yes.
And we started folk dancing. We enjoyed that. We discovered this folk dancing was a contact sport. You know, you could leap about with the girls and not get your hand slapped. And we formed the Yetminster and Rhyme Intrinsica Junior Folk Dance Display Team.
Ooh.
Snappy little title.
Very
impressive. With someone shortened to the Yetis, and the name stuck, and we live it for 50 years.
I see. Oh, I wondered.
Yeah. So, that was my interest into performing, if you like. And we started singing more songs. And Mac and Pete and Bob started playing for dances as well. And the gradually developed until it began to take over our lives, really. We joined the local Morris troupe, yeah, the group, the Wessex Morris team. And just every other night was out singing or dancing somewhere.
So how old were you then?
What would I be? That would be late teens, I suppose.
Late teens.
Yeah. And we was Sibbin Folk Festival. We went there first in 1961 as the formation team and danced down there. And we heard people like Cyril Tawney singing and Nick Tawley's songs, and which was a bit embarrassing when we turned up to sing at a concert we were booked for and found Cyril was on the bill. He was an absolute gent, though. He said, "Will you tell me what we're going to sing and I'll avoid those songs?"
Oh,
what a lovely guy.
Yeah.
And because I'd bring these songs home and start singing them, and then my father, I'd sing in the bath or whatever, and my father would start joining in, and I'd go, "Dad, you didn't tell me you knew any songs." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I used to sing a bit when I was a youngster."
Really?
Yeah. And then, of course, it turned out that we discovered that go back a few more generations, and you've got Marina Russell, Marina Sartin, before she got married, and Edith Sartin, who the Hammond brothers collected well over 100 songs from back in between 1905 and 1907.
So it's in the blood, really.
Yeah, something along the line. Yeah. And of course, there's Paul Sartin as well, who's a very, very good singer and fiddle player. And yeah, so there must be in the gene somewhere.
Yeah. Well, fascinating. Yeah. I hadn't realised that.
It's weird that I should actually take to singing because my brother and my two sisters, they all joined the church choir. But I wouldn't do that because it meant dressing up. I was so shy, you would not believe. But then, obviously, I love performing, and I still do. You know?
So, yeah, you had to get rid of your shyness, I guess, and that's a great confidence booster.
Well, yeah, over the years, it gradually crept upon me that I could actually do the same, you know,
But it really started with dancing, then.
It started with dancing, mm-hmm. yeah, and went on from there. And then really singing on the bus going off to... Because we used to go around doing our demonstration dances at village fetes and festivals and what have you. Mm-hmm. And we found the odd song to sing on the bus. And you know, we learned the Barley Mow, which was a great challenge at the time. It went on from there. And, of course, it's a wealth of material. Absolutely. It was a voyage of discovery, really. All these lovely old songs and tunes.
And were you involved in the folk revival of the 70s then?
Well, yeah, very much so. And we started a folk song club in 1964 in Yeovil. And we booked people that we met at Sidmouth Folk Festival to come there. People like Carty and Swalbrick. And we even had Paul Simon there, actually. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. His fee was £7, but I paid him 10 because I thought he was good. Which he was. He was very good. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, we were very much involved in that. And we were also, because to a certain extent, the folk song and the folk dance didn't mix. So we did both. Mm-hmm. So we were instigator in Cayleys and getting those going. So you've got a real mix of things going on to try and get the, you know, it's all...
And was it your sort of full-time occupation then, or...?
No, we turned professional in 1967.
Right.
Yeah, 67, in October. Because we'd had offers to go to folk song clubs all over the country. People we met at Sidmouth Folk Festival, or people we booked at our folk club, said, well, you must go professional. So we did, thinking we would do it for 3 months, and then that would be it. You know, we just see a bit of the country, meet a few people, trust in people. But the work came in, and I look at some of our old diaries and I think, wow. We would go off for a month at a time, working virtually every night, come back over 2 or 3 days, go back again, you know. And we sort of I looked at the mileage we did was crazy, you know, 40,000 miles a year, beat up old cars. But we were having a whale of a time. And people were so kind, kipping old floors and things. It was pretty rough at times, but... we were meeting all these interesting people and
picking up new songs.
Yeah, and also seeing the world. As you know, we thought it was fabulous getting out there, going to exotic places like Wolverhampton, you know. Yeah, it's our way of getting at the village. For 4 of us then at that time, Bob lived in 79, to go out there, lads. With not a music lesson between us, to go out and do that was wow, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, tell me about your involvement then with Halsey. How did that start?
Oh well, that started with Bill Rutter, of course, who kicked the whole thing off. I mean, Bill was a dynamic man. I mean, he organised, you know, folk camps, started that off, and Sidmouth Folk Festival, and when Halsey came along, was offered, he thought, yeah, go for that. Well, you know, he had a habit of chucking people in the deep end. Mm-hmm. Bill was a great ideas man, and then he'd say, right, okay, you chaps, you can do this. He had us, 50 years ago it is, the WI were celebrating 50 years of the WI in Somerset. So they decided to sing folk songs on the higher points of Somerset. And Bill said, you go and lead them. Well, you know,
we're the fittest.
So there's hundreds of WI up on these highest bits of Somerset singing folk songs. And Bill didn't go along. He said, you just go and do it. And they wanted some leaflets printed for these things. And Bob and Mac and I worked in the same printing works at the time. And so we printed 7,500 leaflets for the WI in our spare time. Oh, through the night. Ooh. What we would do is when everybody else went home, we would stay on and then start work later on when everybody else had gone, till about midnight, then get our sleeping bags, a roll them open on the boss's office floor, and then get up early the next morning, open the window so let some fresh air in, go back to work again, and the next night do some more. But we earned more money from those 7,500 leaflets than we did from our singing it back then.
Really?
Yeah, that time, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, we did all sorts of things, really. Daft, we look back on, but great fun. Great fun.
So tell me a little about some of the things that you did when you were at Halsey. What kind of things were you involved in?
Well, we Bill pulled us in to do all sorts of different things. You know, concerts and open days and this sort of thing. We did a whole weekend. The first weekend we did, it was in 1969. Mm-hmm. And so that was a mix of concert and talks. We actually booked the chap who was the Thatcher at Rhyme Intrinsica to, he was 78 at the time, and he came down to talk about thatching and his experiences. And he was still thatching at the time. He thatched when he was 80. And he would what he would do, instead of, because he was getting a bit on a bit, you know, 78, he wouldn't climb down the ladder and move it along, but he'd bounce the ladder along the roof. But he was a lovely old character, and he came down to talk about thatching and how you do it and this sort of thing. So he pulled in all sorts of different people to do different talks on different things. Yeah, so, as well as
you know,
for the
traditional
dancing.
Crafts, yeah, as well as the dancing and the singing.
Yeah, instrument making and whatever came along, something a little bit different, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a... I've got a quote somewhere from the... where are we? Where's my rubbish? From the Halsey Manor advertising bit at the time. It says, Barbie, we think this is going to be a weekend with some exciting differences. So we tried our best to do that. We end up there again, Bill Atty, Bill Rutter chucking us in the deep end.
So people would come from all over
All over the country.
What about other countries or not? So
well, no, usually from this country. I don't think, thinking about it, because we've done 25 weekends here over the years. I don't think we ever had anybody from abroad, unless you count Guernsey, I suppose.
Yeah.
Is that abroad? But I was just looking through the Yeti's account books the other day. 1967, 5th of March. Tea Saturday until supper Sunday for four of us at Halsey Manor, £5 8 shillings or £5 40 in modern money.
Bargain.
So they didn't rip us off, did they?
Shit.
And we used to drop in here because some of our friends, the young girls, worked here. And if we had a booking further west, we'd pop in here on the way home at midnight and sit around the fire there, and they'd give us coffee before I drove us home. You know?
So it really was quite a hub, but it wasn't just a venue. It was a...
No, it was the place to be, and why not? I mean, 50 years I've been coming here, and every time I come to that door, I go, wow, what a lovely place to be.
It is.
It's a real privilege to work here. It really is, yeah. So... We did a whole string of concerts after open days and things like that in the long room. And
so how has it changed? Because, you know, obviously with time, the plumbing's improved and all that kind of thing. So what was Halsey like when you first came here?
Oh, very rudimentary accommodation-wise. You brought your sleeping bag, and if you wanted a bed, you brought your own bed. You know, it was down to Bessie Rye and friends to go around and scrounge beds and whatever furniture they could find, which they did, you know, 5 shillings here and £1 there, and they filled the place. Mm-hmm. And much more on a dormitory basis in those days. And, of course, it's been a lot of the rooms have been en-suited. So, you know, the standard has gone up tremendously. Mm-hmm. The food was always reasonable, but now it's really good. Mm. But, you know, you did the best with what you had available.
Yeah, a bit like a sort of 70s commune.
That's it. Yeah, it was. Yeah. But, you know, very lively. Yeah. And we used to have meetings down here for, it was the Wessex Folk Song Club Federation. Tried to organise tours for artists so they wouldn't be dodging from, you know, Blackpool down to Yeovil, up to Suffolk and this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So the reasonable tour. I don't remember making many decisions, but we had lovely weekends. It was great. And they're, funny enough, a lot of those now coming back because they're having weekends, reunion weekends, early in the year, and it's absolutely packed for that. So yeah, it's really, really good.
Some friends that you've made under those kind of conditions that remain, you have that bond, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
The shared experience.
Yes, yeah. No, we got friends that, you know, we first met at Halsey 50 years ago, we're still friends now. And that's the great thing about this place is that running weekends here, you see people come in the door as strangers and they leave as friends.
Mm.
And working in the library is wonderful because you can work away quietly in there and there's all this music and song and laughter echoing through the place, you know, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely lovely.
Tell me then a bit about your work in the library. What is it you do?
Well, mainly I put the catalogues of the new books and things and records and things on the computer. So, you know, it's all accessible for people. If you know where you're in a computer a bit, then you can find what you're looking for. And I keyword everything as well. So if you're going to go in the keywords and if you're particularly interested in, say, in Morris dance or in the Abbots Bromley horn dance, if you put Abbots Bromley horn dance into the keywords, you will get every book or recording of the tune come up on the computer, so you can then do your research on those books and that record and those recordings.
So how long have you been doing this?
Oh, about 16 years, I think, something like that. I just did a bit this morning. I'm up to 6,700 and something or other items I've actually keyworded and put into the computer.
So for anyone now in this digital age, that they could be in Australia and they can look up stuff and
they can look up the catalogue and see what we've got. Yeah,
and
sure.
Yeah, so they've got access to it. So they could come do their research.
Yes,
if they wished with that knowledge.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the job has grown exponentially since we took over because people keep chipping in with things. Every time you come down here, there's something new. Someone said, "Oh, it's a box of things my mother had or whatever." And then, of course, we've got the Peter Kennedy collection, which Cynthia's already talked about, hasn't she? Which is you kind of think, hey, or think, oh, look at the work involved in that.
Yeah.
But it's a tremendous asset to have here also.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
So bringing
absolutely
all the cataloguing up to date, really.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But that's a work of immense proportion, for which everyone is truly grateful to both of you for.
It's good stuff. And I just think I've been so lucky making the living the way I have and doing the things I've done, all the travelling abroad and what have you. It's just lovely to be able to put something back. And what a nicer place to come to than Halsey Manor you couldn't find, because you couldn't wish to find it. That's absolutely brilliant.
And today it's been full of children. So what was it like, you know, when you first started? Do you have children as well as the, or was it, you know?
It was, well, whoever we could get through the door, really. Yes, I mean, children did come along.
So the demographics have always been quite varied.
Well, it actually, there are times, because like any organisation, you have your ups and downs. And in one time it got very, very dance orientated, and the other things drifted away. It's a bit of a shame, but now is a much more mixed, a much more variety of things that go on Halsey, which is the way it should be, because I mean, we have so many traditions and different aspects of folklore in the UK. Probably got more here per square mile than anywhere in the world, I should think. So it's great that we're now covering all those things and the crafts and what have you as well.
As you say, you know, one minute you could be hearing Northumbrian pipers at
far
end, and
fabulous,
Cornish choir from the other end.
That's right.
So it's
And it's lovely with the kids today. You know, they're so enthusiastic.
Mm.
They sing and they dance and they run the maypole and things. And I did a broom dance for them this morning, and you know, they clap and they join in and get thoroughly involved. Absolutely brilliant.
Yes, and of course that's crucial, isn't it, to get the young in. And so I remember doing it at school as well, and that's, you know, and I sing some of those songs to, you know, the great nieces and nephews and things, and they're fascinated with them.
Yes, so, yeah, sure. And of course your folk song is immensely adaptable. It's your original, flexible friend, isn't it? Mm. So you can always adapt it for your grandchildren or whatever, and change the odd word here and there, and just make it more interesting to them. It's great. You know, I do it all the time with my grandkids. Yeah. Get them singing. Yeah.
And oh no, John! And then you find out that they're actually the original version is far more exciting than the one you.
There's a version of that collected in Dorset, quite a rude version, and it's collected at a house called Cuckold's Corner, which I think is absolutely wonderful.
I don't know, you wouldn't want to be the one to live there.
No. Yeah, that's brilliant.
So over the years, you've seen lots of, you know, as you say, fluctuations and changes and that kind of thing, but it's having a new, you know, research of energy.
Yeah, I think so, definitely at the moment. And the excellent staff, and they're all very enthusiastic, and it's really, really good. Mm. So I think the future, next 50 years is, let's roll on, I think. Yeah. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
More and more young.
Yeah. And there are so many really talented young musicians and singers at the moment. It's very positive. Mm. That's wonderful. Yeah.
So of all the different songs and things, have you got any particular ones that you associate with Halsey or?
Well, I mean, I have written a couple of songs for Halsey Manor. You're very welcome to, if you can stand the strain, I'll sing them for you.
Oh, well, that would be lovely.
Yeah, there's one. I don't know if you know the legend of the White Lady, but the ghost, or one of the ghosts of Halsey Manor.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. Well, the story goes, this lady married a chap from Bicknoller, okay? And he died soon afterwards. And but she came from Crokham, okay? Right. Foreign parts, Crokham and Bicknoller, all 2 miles apart. Mm-hmm. And they buried him in Bicknoller, and she went back to Crokham to live. And she said, "When I die, I'll be buried with my husband." But they didn't do that. They buried her in Crokham. So all the White Lady is this dutiful wife visiting her husband in Bicknoller, and she wafts through Halsey Manor, okay, direct line and all that sort of thing. So I've written a song about it.
Mm, right.
Excuse me while I'll have to shift off the sofa.
Yes.
Oh, stand up for this one. So it's just called The White Lady, all right? As I was a-walking down by Crokham churchyard, there I beheld a most terrible sight. A lady came creeping from under a gravestone. Her face, it was pale, her robes, they were white. "You've nothing to fear, sir, for I will not harm you, but in my cold tomb for me there's no peace. Each night I wander the hills and the valleys, and that way while haunting I find some release. I visit my husband, he's down in Bicknoller. How could they do it, had they no heart, to bury 2 lovers in sad isolation, to bury 2 lovers 2 long miles apart? As soon as I leave here, I go to his graveside, and there I will stay for an hour or two. But on the way back, I meander a little and ramble the country as we used to do. I go to the manor and gaze in the window, then walk through the wall where the door used to be. We always liked music, dancing and singing, and pass many evenings in good company. Then off to the new room where chandeliers twinkle, and there oh so smoothly I drift round the floor, wishing my husband was holding me tightly, wishing my William could waltz me once more. In a blink then she vanished and left me there standing. Farewell to this loving and long-suffering wife. So if you should meet her in Halsey at midnight, please make her welcome. Don't run for your life."
Oh, that was lovely. Thank you.
There are stories.
I think I might run for mine.
There are stories about the White Lady appearing to a gentleman down in room 11, I think it was, and she was sat on his bed, apparently, and he didn't sleep for the rest of the night.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I've heard that, you know, different rooms have been haunted.
Yeah. The thing is, we've stayed here, Cynthia and I, sometimes on our own. We come down for 2 or 3 days to work in the library. And, of course, the old manor, all that panelling and everything, all as it cools down, it creaks and groans. So if you've got an imagination, let it go rip, you know. Ooh, yes, you can imagine all sorts of funny things happening. Yeah.
But I've always felt it's a nice atmosphere at home.
Oh, yeah, it's so friendly, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is lovely. And I always think that the last 50 years, all the music and song and merriment that's seeped into the walls, you know, got to be good, isn't it?
It has.
And because before that, it was a happy place as well with Gail Wilkinson and, you know, the art people who came here. And, yeah.
Sorry. Puppetry, I think.
Yeah, all sorts of, that's right. All sorts, yeah. So shall I do the other one for you?
Oh, please. Yes, right. There's another one. What's this one about?
Okay. Well, this, a few years ago, I thought, well, you know, the rookery here, every manor house had its rookery, didn't it? The rookery, it's over there. What do you think? All this raucous noise and laughter that went on when the folky people moved in. So it's called Noisy Neighbours. Hang on, I can't think of it starts now. Just pause it a minute. Oh, I got it, yeah. We lived in these treetops extremely content until that Miss Wilkinson packed up and went. And this lot moved in here, wrecking our life, causing us trouble and strife. Causing us trouble and strife. Miss Wilkinson sold the old house for a song, and that's what they do now all the day long. And into the night time, would you believe, causing us up here to grieve. Causing us up here to grieve. Them fiddlers set all our feathers a-quake. They ought to be banished or burnt at the stake. That screeching goes through us right to the bone, causing us up here to moan. Causing us up here to moan. When the pipes start their skirling, we all think it best to head for the hills and abandon the nest. With wings on your ears, it's not easy at all, causing us sometimes to fall. Causing us sometimes to fall. And as for them blokes with the bells on their legs, when they dance, the missus, she lays scrambled eggs. We swear at them often, but they don't refrain, causing us here to complain. Causing us here to complain. Playing the squeeze box at all is a sin. To our kind they make such a horrible din. Just like some banshee come out of the grave, causing us tree folk to rave. Causing us tree folk to rave. We've only one weapon effective so far. We fly overhead and we splatters a car. Whacking great targets lined up in a row, causing us rooks all to crow. Causing us rooks here to crow. The rookery here is really quite stunned. We've written at length to the World Wildlife Fund, but they say rock music is 40 times worse, causing us highborn to curse. Causing us highborn to curse.
I don't make any comments about your comments about squeeze boxes. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
But of course we are in this gorgeous part of the world, surrounded by hills and as you say, the rookeries.
Yeah.
It's just splendid.
One thing I forgot to mention was the fact that we did a DVD of one of our weekends at Halsey Manor, which is actually, we got copies of it down in the library there. So that was 2006. And we came down actually to do a little bit of filming for another DVD we're making. And then it got so, you know, got carried away with it really, people doing the filming. So it's an hour long DVD about Halsey there and larks and things that go on. Also, we were involved in the 21-year celebrations, a whole weekend down here. And it's a lot of work went on. I must have run out of voice come the end, I think, because, we used to do a concert in the long room at 8 o'clock. Then off to the lounge for a sing-song at 11 p.m. So we're singing next day, much the same, a Musical Heritage Thomas Hardy concert, an afternoon Kaylee, cream teas, etc. Kept us working.
Boke you down.
We had a marquee up on the tennis court up there, and it was a good old lively weekend. Yeah.
And of course you had one fairly recently.
That's right, maybe. Yes. Yeah. It sort of changed because when the Yetis retired, the Yetis weekend. So I was president of Halsey Manor at the time, so it became President's Weekend for a couple years, and then it became Bonnie Sartin's Weekend. But lots of singing and dancing, and people, what is lovely, people save their anecdotes and stories and songs the whole year, and then on the Friday and Saturday evenings we have sing-arounds in there, and they trot out all this lovely stuff they've collected through the year. It's really good. Hilarious, actually.
So another kick-off at 11 p.m, no doubt.
Yes.
Off into the wee small hours.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's great. Lovely.
Well, it is. And I think you've been probably here since, the start, really.
Yeah, since it opened, yeah. Because Bill pulled us in almost immediately and said, come on down and do something. So,
So dance, music, song, instruments.
Yeah.
Do you just sing or do you play instruments as well?
Oh, I used to bash a few things. But, I mean, I basically sing and of course, he'd write the odd songs and things. And with the band, I was the one that we had a manager for a few years, but when he went off to do Pastors New, I took over. So I managed the band and did all the VAT and the books and the contracts and all that sort of thing as well. Yeah.
But you were teaching the children today a broom dance.
Yeah.
Do you still work with schools at all? Or
they did pull me in a little while ago to do teach the kids at one of our primary schools in Sherborne, but I don't generally do that.
Yeah.
What I do is I go out to different organisations, U3As and Provost Clubs and WI, whatever happens to come along. And I do talks about the history of Dorset or my family or, there's a wide range of stuff I do, sailing stuff as well. I find something I'm interested in, try to make it interesting to other people, basically. And if there's a gap, then I write a song to go in there. And it keeps the old grey cells ticking over, really.
Absolutely. And Halsey's been quite central. It's been there for, all through your career, sometimes more than others. But, how would you sum up the importance of Halsey to you?
Well, it is obviously very important. I mean, goodness knows how many performances we've done down here over the 50 years, It's got to be probably, 75 or something like that. But I think Halsey itself, well, let's face it, is absolutely unique, isn't it? I'll bet there's not another place like this, never mind the UK, not another place in the world. And some countries take their folk music very seriously. I mean, I've been to places like Bangladesh, where the government take their music and they get up people, all the boys and ladies out the hills and get them to sing and record it and teach the youngsters how to play the instruments. And they come bring it down to the universities. They take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over here, the government obviously don't get involved in anything like that at all. So the fact that Halsey Manor is here to do it instead is fantastic. Absolutely mm-hmm. fantastic. And it's essential that we don't lose our roots, our very diverse roots, but it's essential we don't lose it, I think. I think once you lose contact with those sort of things in history, then you're going to make a lot of mistakes in life, don't you? Because that's the way we learn. And all the songs, a lot of the songs are lessons, aren't they? There's the songs there that, mothers would have sung to their daughters to warn them against, the military passing through in their smart uniforms and what have you. There's all that there. So
some things don't change.
No, exactly.
The songs that we would still have relevance for us today.
Yes.
And I know there were some Belgian visitors to Halsey who were dancing, and We're so lucky because we can actually perform things and learn things here in this environment. And they were saying at home it was so special for them to come here because back in Belgium they're doing it in school halls and, you know, gymnasiums after the children have gone, and the special thing for them is to do it in a building that had seen those dances, you know, danced when it, you know, in its lifetime.
Absolutely. I mean, Cynthia found a lovely quote the other day from an American who was saying exactly the same thing. You know, this is a facility that, like, you know, is a one-off. Absolute one-off.
And we're very privileged.
We certainly are, yeah.
Bonnie, is there anything else that you would like to tell us relevant to your folk career and interest in Halsey?
Well, I mean, obviously I do help in the garden. I'm helping the golden garden over there, and you know, there's always weeds to find. And I've just finished building a wall around the summer house over there.
My goodness, there's no end to talents. Things to walls.
Sort of a Cornish hedge. I scrounged stone from around the little estate here and all of the grounds, and I've built this wall and put plants in the top and what have you.
Yeah.
So I do help Graham and Maureen in the garden, and with Graham and Graham and I actually decorated the outside of the summer house a while ago after it had been thatched, and working over there, people wander up and down and you chat to them, and that's how we got the thatch done, because there's a couple walking past and I started telling them what was going on and what we needed to do, and they said, "Oh, right, okay. Well, we've paid for the thatch." Oh, thank you very much. Just like that, you see. So it's great.
So people contribute whatever they can, whenever they can.
Yeah, yeah. Ideally you'd be here, you know, 7 days a week, because you could chat to everybody, and it's a real promotional job, isn't it? You know,
it is. We're having you putting up the yurts yet.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I thought, putting us out to sleep there, I guess.
It's a voyage of discovery. We've just discovered, Gardner gets very excited here,
ooh,
a great pile of compost down there where the groundsman has been bunging leaves and grass in years and years and years up. So there's a compost mine down there in the water garden. How exciting is that?
Well,
wow, I'm going to write a song about it. Got to write a song about it.
Can't wait. But it's finding those things. I know that Cynthia was saying, you know, things in the inventory would have gone missing, and then suddenly somebody finds something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, over the years it's accumulated and gone into different rooms and all that kind of thing.
That's right.
So,
it's one of the big problems with the library. We've got far, far too much. Many books and bits and pieces of records and CDs and stuff and bits of film to go in the actual library, so it's scattered around the manor. So we're desperate really to get the alterations done in the manor and the new building up, because then we could have it all in one reasonable area, and that would be great. What a facility that would be, because it's very
exciting.
Difficult for anybody wanting to research to come here, and they'll find one book in the library, another one in the Marden room, another in the Brenda room, and this sort of thing, and the LPs are underneath the table in the library,
and there's hidden cupboards in the library.
We at one time we were emptying cupboards so that staff could have more room for the bedding and what have you, and we're beginning to take over again.
But it is, it's a joy when you come across something that you thought might have been missing, and at least you know then.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a great delight when we get someone presents us with something that is so good for the library, which we've not got a copy of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of stuff we get through is fairly standard, and we can sell it on and raise money for the library. But when you get something new, it's great. Really good. I never thought I'd get excited about libraries, but...
Or compost heaps.
The old compost heaps. Oh, that's very true, yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's been fun. fascinating talking to you, Bonnie. Do let me know if there's anything else that springs to mind in the future.
Okay,
we can
we'll
add
do.
To it.
We'll do.
Are there any other songs that you feel a pressing need?
Not really. I've written one or two other things about Halsey, but those two I thought were. I did write a daft poem once because we had moles on the lawn out there, and
nightmare for the garden.
I know, around the I did write a thing about this mole, and it took in the end. I know it took some miners from Cornwall and the SAS to sort them out. They were big moles. The groundsman was grabbed and dragged underground and this sort of thing, you know.
I'm glad they that. Horrendous. Well, I've learned lots today. White ladies, compost heaps, moles, and a bit more of the history of Halsey. And it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.
And your song. So thank you very much.
Anytime.